Amen, amen. Good morning, church. Y'all, this whole worship set is exactly what we're going to be talking about today, making room for God. That's what prayer and fasting is all about, making room for God to do what he wants to do in our lives. I'm so thankful for our worship team leading us. Last week, Pastor Charles was here. Can we give it up for Pastor Charles starting us out in this new year? In this 21 days of prayer and fasting, if you don't know, Charles is the pastor of Cultivate NYC, a brand new church plant right here in Harlem, and he's family. We love having him around all the time. We've been rolling together for quite a while. Now, if you don't know me, my name is Nate. I'm the associate pastor here at TGH. And if we haven't met before, I would love to meet you after service by the elevators. I'd love to shake your hand, just say hey. So find me there. This week, today, I'm going to be continuing talking about fasting. What it is, why we do it, where we get it wrong, and what Jesus has to say about it. All right, so my text today comes from Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 1 and skipping down to 16 and 18. Let's read this together. Jesus says, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven." Down to verse 16. He says, "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do. They disfigure their faces to show others that they're fasting." Oh, I'm fasting. Oh, it's so hard. Oh. "Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Join me in prayer. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for this time of worship together. Thank you for gathering us together for another Sunday. Thank you for speaking to us already. God, give us ears to hear and eyes to see what you have for us today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you can grab a seat. And if you have a seat next to you, you can slide over, make some room for people on the sides as they come in. So like I said, TGH has started this year in 21 days of prayer and fasting, okay? And we've completed 1 week. That means we've got 2 more weeks left. And now tomorrow, as we all know, is Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Tomorrow we celebrate the life and legacy of MLK. But I want us to remember that at the time of his assassination, MLK was not a popular figure in the United States. Some would call him the most hated man in America at the time of his death. And culture today, we only really look at the "I Have a Dream" speech, okay? That's MLK in a nutshell. But that is such a tiny part. That is one part of his entire ministry and legacy. It ignores his words, especially towards the latter end of his ministry, about racism, militarism, and extreme materialism. He said, "When machines and computers, profit motives, and property rights are considered more important than people, the giant triplets of racism, extreme materialism, and militarism are incapable of being conquered." And as we are in this time of prayer and fasting, I want to remind us of a very reminiscent passage in Isaiah 58, where God declares to his people in verse 6, he says, "Is not the kind of fasting I have chosen to loose the chains of injustice and untie the yoke, the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and provide the poor wanderer with a shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them, and do not turn away from your own flesh and blood?" That's God's idea of a fast. It has to do with justice. It has to do with freeing the oppressed. Now, there are many, many, many misconceptions about MLK. Much of his life and legacy has been whitewashed by culture. He's been turned into a hero, really mythologized in a lot of ways. And I encourage you to read his writings, listen to his sermons, watch the interviews, especially in the last few years of his ministry. Because it's much more than just the I Have a Dream speech. In fact, he has some interesting reflections on that speech. Now, we could talk about the misconceptions and misunderstandings that have to do with MLK. When I was in seminary, I took a class called Martin and Malcolm, A Theology of Social Justice, where we walked through Martin Luther King Jr.'s life and Malcolm X's life and kind of compared and contrasted as they were doing ministry at the same time, how they diverged at certain points, but especially towards the end of both of their ministries, how they started to come together in a lot of ways. And it was very just mind-blowing for me, for all that I had received from my education in school, all that I had received from a very white culture growing up, just how it was not the truth. Like I said, we could talk a lot about those misconceptions. Because just as our tradition, our religion, our assumptions, they muddy our understanding, it's the same with our practice today of fasting. Fasting becomes something like where we read this passage in Isaiah and it just doesn't even seem to connect. What does fasting have to do with freeing the oppressed? We have so much baggage associated with fasting. And there's so many things out there that make it more confusing. We hear people talk about how it's something that everybody has to do. All Christians have to fast. Well, is that true? We hear people talking about how it's a way to get your prayers answered. Is that true? I hear people talk about, hey, fasting has health and wellness benefits. Does it? Well, we're going to get into it today. I want to do some myth busting for us. I want us to get clear on what fasting is, what the Bible says about it, what Jesus has to say about it, all right? So first, let's just get into what is fasting. What are we talking about? Okay, we fast to temporarily remove things from our lives in order to focus more on God. Okay, that's all fasting is. Most of the time, you're removing food, okay? Most of the time, we're removing food. Fasting is a time to humble ourselves before God by intentionally abstaining from all foods or certain foods for the spiritual purpose of seeking after God, okay? The ultimate purpose is not to get anything from God, but to seek God, okay? So fasting really is just a tool to help us in our relationship with God. That's something I'm going to say over and over in this message, okay? Fasting is a tool to help us in our relationship with God, okay? Let's look at some types of fasts, okay? There's different ways that you can fast, okay? The first one is what we probably know, a complete fast. You just drink water, okay? Typically, it's just water. You can maybe do a liquid fast with some juices or something for a longer fast, those kind of things. Second kind of fast is a partial fast, okay? This is where you limit your diet. Maybe you just eat like bread and water, or maybe you're just juicing and you're just drinking juices. Maybe you're abstaining from certain meals, okay? You're not going to have breakfast and lunch this day, or you're not going to have dinner this day, or you're not going to eat from certain hours, okay? Are there any intermittent fasting people among us? I know you're starting it for the new year. You got your health plan, you got a workout plan, yeah, intermittent fasting, this is it. I'm not going to get into intermittent fasting because that has to do with health and stuff and working out. That's not what I'm talking about with spiritual fasting, but some of y'all go real hard in all the way down the rabbit hole in the internet. Okay, so the complete fast, partial fast, Daniel fast. Hey, that's what we're doing right now at TGH. Okay, the Daniel fast is a prescribed fast. Okay, it says you can eat these foods, don't eat these foods. Pretty straightforward. And if you want to know all about the Daniel fast, listen to our podcast last week. Charles broke it all down in Daniel chapter 1. And then the last one is a soul fast, okay? This fast is when you're not fasting from food, but from something else in your life to help you focus on your relationship with Jesus, okay? Social media, television, whatever it might be. Now, In the Bible, what does it say about fasting? In the Old Testament, they practice fasting a bit differently than we do today, okay? If you read the Old Testament, you're like, they're doing it mostly for mourning when someone dies, which I think is so funny because, like, today, I don't know, when people have died in my family, you know, you go to the funeral, you go to the wake or whatever, and then there's a huge meal prepared, you know? So think of, like, okay, in other cultures, okay, they fast as a way of mourning. Okay, the second biggest reason people fast in the Old Testament was repentance. Repentance. They had sinned against God. God had judged them by some way. He warned them of a judgment, and they declared a fast. Everyone fast for 3 days. Everyone fast for this day as a sign of repentance, of dependence of God, of asking for forgiveness. And the biggest day that all of Israel practiced this was called the Day of Atonement. Okay, this was the one day a year when the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, made a sacrifice before God to atone for all the sins of all the people for that year. And it was a one-day fast. Okay, they did this every year. Now, the third way that we see people fasting in the Old Testament is they have a big need. Okay, think of Esther. Her people are about to be killed, and so she fasts for 3 days. And she asks all those around her, Mordecai and all the people, please fast with me for 3 days to seek out to God, to pray to God, to seek him. You think of King David when he fasted when his child was sick. He was seeking God. Now, that's not really how they didn't do like a 21-day fast in the Old Testament or the New Testament, actually. Do you know why we're doing a 21-day fast? Because we decided we would do a 21-day fast. That's why. You look at the New Testament, fasting started to become more of a customary practice for seeking after God just in general. Okay? Remember when I preached during Christmas, we talked about Anna, this prophet who was at the temple. She was there day and night fasting and praying. It was a sign that someone was really seeking after God. So that's the audience that Jesus is speaking to in our passage right here. Those who are using fasting as a spiritual discipline in their lives to seek after God. Now, in our passage, Jesus is speaking about several spiritual practices, spiritual disciplines, generosity, prayer, and fasting. And he says this in Matthew 6:1. He says, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you have no reward from your Father in heaven." This is such a great passage, this whole passage. Matthew 6, I encourage you to read over it. I love it because Jesus he kind of cuts through all of the religion, all the tradition, all the assumptions. He makes things plain, okay? He says it like it is, and when you read it, you're like, yeah, okay? He calls out the hypocrites. He just calls them hypocrites, who make sure everyone knows that they are generous. Look at me, I'm giving to the poor, okay? Literally, they have trumpets sound as they give their offering, okay? This makes me think of Elon Musk when he posted, like, should I give $8 billion in order to cure world hunger or do something else? I'm like, bro, go away, okay? I don't care about you. Jesus literally says, God does not care about that. He does not care. He got all the likes. That's his only reward for even saying they didn't even do it, okay? The eyeballs of everybody was on him. That's his only reward. Jesus tells us to give in secret so that our left hand doesn't know what our right hand is doing. Secret, okay? Because God sees it, and that's the whole point. Amen, right? Like, yeah, these hypocrites out here. I don't care. These wealthy people giving a whole lot of money. Who cares? It's probably like 0.00000001% of their net worth anyway. Who cares? Jesus calls out the hypocrites, okay, who make themselves look super religious, okay, with their eloquent and powerful prayers. Look out. This is me. This is talking to me, people like me who get up in front of crowds and pray, who know how to pray. Oh, you know, people just eloquent prayer. You're like, wow, this person must have an English degree, They are alliterating on just this prayer. Like, I could never pray like that, okay? Somebody who prays, like, just calling down fire from heaven. Just like, oh, Lord, that prayer. Powerful prayers, okay? Jesus says, if your motivation is just for other people to hear you, God literally does not care. He doesn't care, okay? The ears of everyone who hears you is the only reward that you will get. Jesus tells us, go into your room, close the door, and then pray. Because God will then be the only one who hears it, and that's the point. See, isn't this great? Like, yeah, amen, yes, come on, Jesus. Who can disagree? I don't even care if you're a Jesus follower. Like, amen, yes. And then finally in our passage today, Jesus makes it plain when it comes to fasting, this practice of fasting. He cuts through the religion, the tradition, the misuse, the misunderstanding. It's not complicated, okay? And as we look at what Jesus says, I want to bust a number of myths that we have that we bring to fasting. Myths that are legalistic, okay, that make fasting another yoke that's put on us. Myths that are like pragmatic, like, oh, actually, fasting is great. We're gonna talk about that, okay? Which leads me to my first point. Hypocrites fast publicly, okay? I don't have any fancy points for you, just what Jesus said. Hypocrites fast publicly, okay? In verse 16, he says, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Which means that's it. No more reward after that. And listen, this is exactly what it sounds like, okay? People would fast and make sure other people knew that they were fasting, okay? They were suffering for God. Suffering voluntarily, I might add. Suffering of their own decision that they decided to do, that no one forced them to do, suffering for God, okay? They're not being oppressed. They're not fighting for freedom. This is the fake, I'm suffering for God, okay? Again, I think all of us can amen this. Yes, call out the hypocrites, all right? If you're not a Christian, this passage is for you, y'all. So, what I want to get to is our first myth here, the first fasting myth. Everyone is required to fast. That's a myth, okay? Listen, babies, children, they should not fast. If you got children, it is way too much work anyway. Don't even try it. I'm telling you, your pastor is telling you, don't make your children fast unless you have a conversation with them and they want to, okay? Hey, you know, don't just count them out, but they don't have to, okay? Those with health issues, those taking certain medications, should not fast, okay? I'm talking about from food, from like all food especially. Those who are pregnant, you shouldn't fast. Listen, fasting is voluntary. It is voluntary. No one should ever be forced to fast, okay? No one should ever, because it feeds into this like fake suffering for God. Okay, no one is forced to fast. It is a decision. It is a spiritual discipline you decide to do in order to grow in your relationship with Jesus, okay? And listen to this. In the New Testament, Jesus never commands his followers to fast. The rest of the New Testament, all the letters of Paul, no command to fast. In the Old Testament, you had to fast on the Day of Atonement. The whole nation had to fast. Jesus says, hey, when you fast, because, you know, you might fast, you should do it like this. Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. It doesn't say if that was necessarily a decision he made or a situation that he was in this trial of temptation. But Jesus doesn't give this command that we have to fast. And so I want to free somebody today. Maybe you've been trying this fast. It's your very first time to try this Daniel fast this week, and you've been like, Lord, I don't know what is happening. You don't have to fast. You don't have to. Okay? Maybe this isn't the year for you. Maybe this isn't the season for you to fast. That's okay. Okay, it's prayer and fasting, not just fasting, okay? So that's the first myth. Everyone is required to fast. Wrong. Everyone is not required to fast, okay? Second myth, fasting makes you super spiritual, okay? This is so easy to fall into, okay? Listen, first of all, let me just say, fasting in and of itself is not even religious, okay? Like I said, in many cultures around the world, people fast when someone dies. It's a way of showing their mourning. It's a way of entering into mourning. Most religions in the world practice fasting, okay? It's not a Christian thing at all. And listen, we fast for other reasons, too, that have nothing to do with our spirituality, okay? I know some of y'all, you got a dry January going on. You're fasting from alcohol. Did you know that? Now you know, okay? You have your fasting for mental health reasons, for physical health reasons, okay? We're talking about spiritual health, okay? So I say all that to say, like, there's nothing, like, super spiritual about fasting just in and of itself, okay? Listen, fasting, it is a spiritual discipline, just like praying, just like reading the Bible, just like stillness and silence, just like meditation, just like confession, okay? It's like working out, all right? You got a lot of options. You got too many options, okay, of workouts that you can do. All of them are hard to an extent, especially when you first try it out. You get sore and it's hard, but it's just a spiritual practice. You don't have to be super spiritual to fast. It doesn't make you super spiritual. Okay, we on the same page? Does that make sense? All right. Let me share a time when about my own experience with fasting. Throughout my life, as I've been trying to practice the discipline of fasting. Okay, for a while, a few years ago, I did a weekly fast. I would fast every Thursday. Okay, and here's how I got into this. In 2017, 2018, I chose to fast on Thursdays, and I fasted from lunch and dinner every other week for like half a year or so. I did that. And then in 2019, I didn't really fast for that whole year. I was like, I don't know what happened, but it's not on my calendar. And then 2020, I decided, I'm going to get back to that Thursday fasting thing, that discipline. And so at that point, I fasted from all meals on Thursdays. And I did that for about a year. And this is really the only time that I've practiced this in my life. I don't do it anymore. I did that for, like I said, about a year, 2021. I stopped doing that. Me and Diana's wedding was coming up. I was like, we got other things going on. I don't need this right now. Basically, the reason I did practice it, though, for that season of my life was because I wanted to build fasting as a discipline, not just a one-time thing, but what would it look like for me to make this a part of my life? It was just one day a week for me, and all it's doing is making one day different because of my relationship with Jesus. Okay, I eat all my meals every other day, all of that kind of stuff. I even was still like going to the gym and working out and paying attention to all my food and stuff. But Thursdays, I was like, this day is different because of my relationship with Jesus. That's it. I wasn't praying for a specific thing. I don't feel like God, you know, did any like big, huge things necessarily in my life, because it was for me, to remind me of my relationship with Jesus. This day is different. I'm gonna focus on that. Does that make sense? Like I said, fasting is a tool to help you in a relationship with Jesus. Okay, so I want to ask y'all during this remaining, we got 14 more days left. During this 21 days of prayer and fasting, how are you participating? Okay, will you fast? If so, what kind of fast are you doing? Or are you just going to focus on prayer? You can do that too. Okay, and let me say as well, you can change your fast mid-fast. Okay, if you accidentally eat the wrong food, it's okay. It didn't ruin everything. Okay, if you go through week one and you're like, I'm going to have to change this up. That's okay. If you don't fast at all for the first 2 weeks, and then the third week you want to do it, great. It's for you. It is a tool for you. Okay? I'm going to free you up to do that. Okay. Second point. We fast secretly. Remember, the first point was hypocrites fast publicly. They got to show everybody how spiritual and amazing they are, okay? Jesus tells us to fast secretly. Look at verse 17. He says, when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. Again, this is exactly what it sounds like, okay? Take care of yourself. Do everything you would normally do while you're fasting, okay? Jesus says, like, put oil on your head, a.k.a. use lotion if you're ashy, okay? Wash your face, all right? Fix your hair, et cetera, all that kind of stuff. This was literally in a commentary. It's really, like, historically, you know, you put oil so your skin doesn't get dry. I'm like, oh, okay, I get that. Use lotion. Okay. Why? Why does Jesus say this? Jesus says that so that the only one who knows you're fasting is your Father in heaven, the unseen one will see you. I love that. Because fasting is a tool to help you in your relationship with God. There isn't another motive involved with fasting, okay? It isn't even for us like that. Jesus doesn't even say, you'll know you're fasting. He says your Father will know that you're fasting. Just like he sees your secret generosity, like he sees your secret prayers. Oh, but we can't even. Nah, we can't even. There's got to be some personal benefit, right? I mean, we can't just do it secretly. I mean, does that have to be totally secret? Isn't it? Actually, spiritual and good for your body, for your health? Actually, doesn't it have some other benefits, okay, than your relationship with God? Let's look at this first myth. Fasting is physically good for you. This is a myth, okay? Fasting is not a good weight loss exercise. It is not. Cause it's like any kind of like diet that's a fad or whatever. You lose the weight, then what? You gain it back. Okay, your diet, you know, maintaining your weight and diet and that kind of stuff is a lifelong thing. Okay, doing a fast, you might lose a whole bunch of weight, but you'll gain it right back. Fasting, listen to this. I've heard people say this on the internet. I've heard people think this way. Like, fasting gives your body, like, a rest. Okay? It's good for your body. It gives your body, like, digestion, like, rest. The reality is that when your body doesn't have food, it is stressed out. Okay? It is stressed out. Doesn't have its normal flow of energy going, okay? And it has to compensate somehow, okay? That's why your body is screaming at you for food. Is anybody addicted to caffeine in the room? What happens when you take it away from your body? Goes into stress mode. You have withdrawals from coffee, from caffeine, okay? Fasting, it doesn't... Related to this, fasting does not, like, restart your metabolism or something, okay? It doesn't purify your system. Your body, no, God has created your body so well. It purifies itself in like a dozen different ways all the time. Right now, it is purifying everything, a part of your digestive system and everything, okay? There is no medical evidence that fasting like purifies or gives your body a rest, or your stomach a rest or something. That's not true. Okay, and just as a broad statement, fasting does not really have any real health benefits. That is just true. There have been lots of studies done. There's no benefits, okay? That is not why we fast, okay? I know we want it to be so bad. listen, I know all this because I looked it up. Because I was like, you know, maybe, actually, maybe there is some benefit. No, there's not. Okay, second myth I want to bust is that fasting is all about self-denial. Okay, what do I mean by that? Fasting is not about this asceticism, all right, where you prove to God, you got what it takes, I can fast. Or you prove to yourself, I got what it takes, I can fast. I've got the willpower required to do this spiritual thing, okay? It's not about building yourself out. It's about humbling yourself, actually. This is a similar way to thinking you become super spiritual if you fast, all right? You have the self-discipline to deny yourself. That is not what fasting is about. You don't fast in order to get anything from God. You fast out of an existing relationship with God. You fast to go deeper with God. Okay, it's a tool to help you, period. It's also not about the length, how long you fast, how many days you go, that it doesn't have any effect at all. Jesus said all the time that actually the last will be first, and the first will be last. Okay, God, listen to this. God is more pleased with the wholehearted fast for one meal of someone who is earnestly seeking him than someone who fasts for 21 days but isn't earnestly seeking him. Does that make sense? Fasting is not about this like self-denial competition that you're on. You've got to earn something from God, or that you've got to prove to God or yourself that you have what it takes. No. Fasting is just one practice that you should have in your secret life with God. Do you have a secret life with God? God says to do this stuff in secret, pray in secret, give in secret, fast in secret. You know, do you have a part of your life that no one will know about until maybe after you die and they look at your journals? See, fasting is about your relationship with God. I want to share another time that I fasted. This was when, I shared about this last summer when I decided to come back to TGH after being in the Bronx, working on a church plant there. My wife and I, we fasted as a part of a number of weeks of discernment, trying to make a big decision, okay? We had been at a church in the Bronx, and we were trying to discern, is God calling us to come back here to TGH? And we set a date when we wanted to make the decision, okay? We put it on the calendar, and the fast was just a couple days, a part of this few weeks seeking God. And we went on a prayer walk in Harlem during the fast. Y'all, we didn't even do 100% fast because we got a mocha at Manhattanville Coffee. Their mochas are the best. Shout out to Manhattanville. But we were doing our fast from everything else, you know, and walking through Harlem, praying, seeking after God. And after that day of fasting and prayer, I knew what the decision was. We were going to come back to DGH. And this was like a week earlier than the date that I'd put on the calendar. But God had made it clear. Why? Was it because we fasted? Was it because we went on a prayer walk? No, but we did make space. We made time to be with God, to hear God, to walk in this neighborhood. Like, God, are you calling us back here? Let's go here and listen to you. We were looking, we were listening, we were reflecting on everything, looking for an answer. Because all of this came out of a secret life that we already had with God. Okay, my hope for you is that when you face a big decision in your life, when you're working through discernment, you already have a life with God. That your discernment, prayer, and hearing from God, it's already a part of your life, so it's not a totally new thing to put into your life. You see, a secret life with God isn't just a season or like a thing you do in autumn or at the beginning of the year. Just as fasting should come out of a secret life with God. So, during the 21 days of prayer and fasting, how will you focus on your relationship with God? How are you going to focus on your relationship with God? Do you have a secret life with God? How will you grow in that secret life with God? It can be fasting, it can be prayer, it could be something else. That leads me to my third and final point. Our Father rewards secret righteousness. Our Father rewards secret righteousness. In verse 18, Jesus says, "And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." I love that. Jesus says that your Heavenly Father sees you. What are these rewards that Jesus is talking about? How does God reward us? Now, before I answer that question, I'm going to step on a few toes in the room. Spiritual toes. Of Christians, spiritual people. Okay, I want to address some myths about rewards that we get from God, specifically when it comes to fasting, okay? Because fasting is so strongly associated with prayer, as it should be, that we make God answering those prayers the reward for fasting. It's just easy to slide right into that. I get it. We think that God will reward our fasting. Remember our efforts. We're trying. I'm going to fast and pray, okay, that we think he's got to answer our prayers. Let's get into it. So the first myth, fasting unlocks spiritual strongholds. Ooh, just go with me on this. I know some of you are like, what? The myth is that fasting unlocks spiritual strongholds. Let me just say, who is it that unlocks spiritual strongholds? God. Yes, God unlocks spiritual strongholds, and he doesn't need you to fast to do it. I just want to say that. Listen, really big things, really hard things, big decisions, okay, addictions, unbelief, breakthrough in your life. We do pray for these things while fasting, all right? But it's because our prayers are focused while fasting on these big things often. That's why we fast. To focus our prayers on these big things. We're praying for breakthrough. We're praying through hard things. We're praying for a big decision. So we decide to fast so we can totally focus on it, okay? But it's not like, okay, I fasted, God. Now you gotta bring the breakthrough. Does that make sense? Okay, God is the one who unlocks spiritual strongholds. He didn't need you to fast in order to break a stronghold. Maybe you needed to fast in order to be reminded of that truth. Okay, fasting, listen, it makes us, it just automatically kind of makes us more aware of God, of spiritual things. Why? Because every time we get hungry, we're like, oh yeah, I'm fasting. God, prayer, what's that thing I'm praying for right now? And then suddenly you're praying throughout the day when normally you wouldn't be praying throughout the day, okay? Fasting reminds you of your complete dependence on God, including those spiritual breakthroughs. All right, second myth. Fasting makes God respond to your prayers. Okay, I talked about this a little bit, but listen. First, God does not have to do anything. Anything. God does not have to do. I don't care if you listen to a sermon series by somebody on the internet who said, these are the five keys to getting your prayers answered. God does not have to do anything. Any answered prayer that God gives us is his grace to us in Jesus. Hallelujah, amen, okay? God is not laying out an equation or a magic formula, a magic spell for you to figure out to get something from God. That's paganism. That's other religions where you do this and this and this and this and this. And then God will answer your prayers, give you what you want, give you what you need, okay? And listen, fasting is about you getting in tune with God, not about God getting in tune with you. Let me say that again. Fasting is about you getting in tune with God, not God getting in tune with you, okay? Fasting helps you focus your prayers. Fasting can put a time limit on your prayers, like I was talking about, the big decision I made. Okay, I'm going to fast this day, so I want to try and get an answer by this time or make a decision, okay? But how many times yeah, I don't know how many times I've been praying for something, you know, and I'm different because I'm expecting an answer from God. Okay, I think that's a major key for me. I'll fast with expectation. I'm focusing my prayers. I'm praying for this thing, and my radar is up. My ears are like, God, give me an answer. I have expectation. When you fast, it automatically changes your expectation. Now, everything I've described to you it's about you. It's not about God. You have an expectation that God is going to do something. God is going to do something. Now you're going to be aware. You're going to be looking for it. You're going to be listening for it. You're going to be in tune with him. Before, you didn't pray. Now you're praying. Before, you weren't in tune with God. Now you're seeking God. Listen, I believe wholeheartedly that prayer changes things. Fasting changes you. Okay, prayer changes things. Why? Because God answers them. God works. God does things. Fasting changes you. Okay, that's why you do it in secret. It's not about anybody else. It's about you. Last story I'll share about myself fasting. In 2019, I did the corporate fast here at TGH for the very first time. I had never done a church-wide fast before. Churches I've been a part of in the past, we didn't do that, especially not for 21 days. We didn't do the Daniel fast. My first time to do the Daniel fast, never done that before. And I was like, I don't want to do this fast. That seems really hard. And I'm going to buy all these groceries and come up with like meals and stuff. It's a lot. Daniel fast is a lot. It's almost easier to just not eat anything. It's a lot. Y'all, but I did it. I did it. I went to the grocery store, got all my groceries and stuff, and came up with some. I went to ultimatedanielfast.com, got some great recipes on there. I still use them, you know, in my normal rotation today. They're great. And then, you know, I got some banana chips, you know, just some dried banana chips. Looked on the back, after I bought them, looked on the back, like, you know, 0.05 grams of added sugar. I'm like, oh, Lord. You're not supposed to have added sugar. I ate them anyway, okay. I gave myself a little grace, said, you know what, I am trying, okay? I am trying. That's the point, right? It's not about, like, following the legalism. You got to eat this and not eat this. Well, I'm going to try. I'm going to do my best here. Do my best, forget the rest, okay? And listen, during that fast, something that we talked about was just like, you know, what are you praying for during this time of fasting prayer? What are you praying towards? And I decided to pray for a friend of mine who was struggling with addiction. And, you know, I prayed for this person throughout the whole 21 days. And this was not a new thing, going on for quite a while. And, you know, shortly after, I really can't remember when, but this person was delivered. Yeah, praise God. Now, it wasn't because I fasted. It really wasn't even because I prayed either. I was not the only one praying for him. Lots of people were praying for this person. But I made that my focus for 21 days. I decided to pray towards that. So during this 21 days of prayer and fasting, how are you going to join with God? How are you going to get in tune with God? Are you praying for yourself, someone else, or a situation? How will you focus this time of prayer? Okay, we got 14 days left. What are you going to pray towards? What's that request that's going to focus your time of prayer? Now listen, I didn't really answer the original question. I was asking you, like, what are the rewards that we get from God? Is it answered prayer? And you know, the answer is no. I'll just make it plain for you. Our ultimate reward is God. Our reward is God. You can have a life with God. That is the reward.
Anything you ever need, you can bring to him. That is your reward. Anything, when you do these things in secret, he sees you. He knows you. He loves you. You see, Jesus, in his life and ministry, he didn't do his acts of righteousness publicly for all to see. But he did do something publicly for all of us. He was crucified on a Roman cross, publicly. Jesus did not fast for a meal, or a day, or a week, or a month. He gave up his life for us, so that we would never have to fast or do any other religious thing, any act of righteousness, in order to earn our love from him. Our righteousness doesn't come from our good works. Our righteousness doesn't come from whether you fast or not. You're not super spiritual because you can fast or you decide to fast. Instead, it's described as the great exchange. The great exchange is that our sin is exchanged for his righteousness. On the cross, Jesus takes our unrighteousness, our sin, and puts it to death. And in the process, he gives us his righteousness. You see, not only does Jesus take away our sin, our unrighteousness, he doesn't then ask us, okay, now be righteous, get a bunch of righteousness. No, he gives us that as well. That is the great exchange. Our sins are forgiven, and we receive the righteousness of Jesus. Through his death on the cross, through his resurrection, we can have a secret life, a relationship with God. Jesus is not requiring things of us. He's not telling us we've got to pray. He's not telling us we've got to fast. He's not telling us that we've got to be generous. He's not telling us to do all these things in order to become righteous. He's given us his righteousness, and then we can do all these things freely. It's an invitation he's inviting us into. This is why we can have a secret life with God. It's not based on anything that you do, but completely in what Jesus has already done for you. It's not to show other people that you are amazing and that you are so spiritual. It's not about getting extra benefits, okay, that come with following God. It's why God, he doesn't have to do anything for you, because he has already done everything for you. So, closing with this, as we finish these 14 days of prayer and fasting at TGH, let's press in to this relationship with God. He has bought us through his death and resurrection. And we've got a couple ways for you to press in this week, okay? On Wednesday, we've got the prayer and worship night. The doors open at 7 o'clock. We'll start at 7:30 right here. Join us for that. Press into your relationship with God during this time of prayer and fasting. The prayer team is leading the Zoom prayer calls on Monday and Friday. Get on those. Okay, the email with the link is going to go out, but get on those. Press into your relationship with Jesus. For the altar call today, I'm calling everybody who needs to press into their relationship with Jesus for the next 21 days. I'm calling to the altar anyone who they've been making fasting more than a tool with their relationship with Jesus, and they want to make it right. I'm calling to the altar anyone who doesn't yet have this relationship with Jesus. Make today the day that you start this relationship with him. Join me in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you for giving us an invitation into something like fasting. Thank you for giving us an invitation into prayer. Thank you for inviting us into a relationship with you. God, thank you for giving us focus in our prayers. I believe that you're going to change us because of what we pray in the next few weeks. We're going to look back and say, look at what God did because I was focused. I can even see what God did. Before, I wouldn't even have been able to recognize what God did because I was so out of tune. I was so focused on myself. But I decided to cut this part out, to fast from this, to focus, to press in. And now I can even see God. Wow. I can see what you're doing. I see what you did. I can recognize the prayers that have been answered. God, I pray that you would give us courage to press into you. God, the thing that we need breakthrough in, God, let us pray about it. The person who needs deliverance, let us pray for them. Let's just think about it. Let's pray about it. Seeking you, the one who brings breakthrough, the one who brings deliverance, the one who says to things that are dead, you are alive. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.